Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, Lagos, welcome back. We have joining us on the line the National Publicity Secretary of Labour Party, Obiorafo. And of course, we're talking about the Labour Party's leadership crisis. Mr. Afo, good morning to you. Good to have you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well, thank you. Good to have you. I know it's a busy day for all of you in Labour Party. For those of you who are listening, please feel free to call if you have a question or contribution. You're well aware of the issues bedeviling Labour Party, so I won't bore you with too many of the details, but please call 0700-993-993-993. We also have 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190 to have your say. We also have platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp. WhatsApp number being 08095975805. Mr. Afo, please give us the latest as far as Labour Party is concerned. After the convention which brought you, yourself, and members of your new National Working Committee, including the party's chairman, Julius Abure, to office for a second term, and that convention was rejected by members of your party, by some stakeholders, by the NLC, and by INEC. So what is the position of Labour Party led by Julius Abure on that?
Thank you so much. Let me start on a note of correction. Julius Abure was elected for the first time, not second time. He only served out the tenure of the late former national chairman, A.A. Absalom, died in 2020. So Julius Abure was asked to fill in the gap from 2021, and his tenure just expired. And we had a convention in a Lewi, very successful convention, attended by the delegates, proper approved delegates of the party. Delegates include all the elected national and state officers of the party, the appointees of the state, as well as delegates from the state too. So all of them, without exception, came. The people that did not come send representation.
All right.
And it was good. We had a very good turnout and a very impressive turnout for that matter. You said it was rejected. I'm not aware of any rejection anywhere. You talked about INEC. INEC never said that they rejected our convention. INEC only said that they were not aware of the convention. But it's on record that we sent a letter to INEC on the 4th of December. The letter we published to everywhere about the convention, and when we had need to change the venue of the convention on two occasions. We informed, we wrote to INEC, and I'm sure you saw those letters online. The last change was, as required by the law, and our next statute is that they must know at least 1 week to the event. And we did send them the last change on the 20th of March. And we had our convention on the 27th of March. Let me also say that the officer of the INEC that spoke didn't have the permission of INEC to speak on that matter.
All right.
The commissioner in charge of information is there. He didn't speak. There is a department. They call election and the party monitoring committee, who we work closely with.
All right.
Up to the night of the convention, they are aware that we work with them. So.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Maybe it was a slip of tongue. You know, of course, we know that even that matter, it's also a matter for debate. That Abure was national secretary of the party when the former national president died. Though the argument is that Apapa and Lebeke the lady, where the national vice chairman of the party, who should have taken over from her papa, and that's where some of the conflict that has bedeviled the party is coming from. But I don't want us to go into all of that now, because that's not our focus this morning. Sir, INEC basically disowned your convention, saying they didn't participate in it. Therefore, it will be argued, yes, rightly.
No, please stop saying that INEC disowned. INEC never disowned.
Okay.
That's unless if you have a mindset, then I won't be need for this again.
Okay.
INEC never said that they disowned. The officer that spoke said that there is not aware. And I've just told you, and I've given you instances where we wrote, and they acknowledge all our correspondences. So
okay.
We can't continue to.
All right. Let me put it this way. I want to ask you: did INEC monitor your election?
INEC, in Section 88 of Electoral Law, say that INEC is. If you go and read it very well, I think Section 6.
Right.
Says INEC is not obligatory to monitor conventions that are of internal party issue. INEC can only compulsorily monitor convention, elective conventions that are thrown up candidates for elections that are to be conducted by INEC. This is a party. Go and read the Section 88. It says INEC may or may not. The only thing that we owe INEC is to inform them adequately, so they may or may not, and that won't be the first time INEC didn't come. And the reason why they didn't come, they have not said, and they have not made it public, even though we were with them up to the eve of the convention, where they promised us they will be coming, and we've made adequate arrangement for them to be part of the convention. So it is not compulsory that they must be there.
Okay. Okay, interesting. Mr. Fah, this whole interview is basically a bid to give Labour Party a right of reply. We felt it wasn't going to be fair for us to have one of your members, who was a suspended national treasurer of your party, Oli Chopra, on our program, which we did last week, and then not reach out to you. That's how I've been reaching, trying to get you on the program so we can balance things out. So, sir, I'll give you an opportunity to listen to a bit of what she said, and then you can respond to it. Please listen. Congratulations on your successful national convention.
Was there a convention, my brother? There was no convention. What we had was a group of people that are in support of Abure. I'll call that a support group conference. I think they may have one or two they want to discuss, hence the reason they gathered themselves together to plan. As for the future of their group, support group, there was never a convention. Where is it ever heard that there is a convention that should be in secrecy? National convention is the highest decision-making organ of any political party. And an elected national convention is the highest election that will be ever held by any political party. Yet, ours was done in secrecy. So what they did that day, 27th, was a gathering of Abure's support group. Thankfully, it was not done today. Had it been was today, I would have said that maybe it's an April Fool.
Okay, Mr. Ifor, your response to that, please.
Yes, my sister, my younger sister, is talking because he was suspended from the party for anti-party affairs. But indulged in, we gave her all the opportunities to clear herself, and she was terrible. So you will not be surprised at her writing. Now, the major thing she said there was that the convention was conducted in secrecy. But I would like to ask you, a convention which notice was given for almost 100 days before the convention, communicated through our party line of communication to all the states, local governments, down to what? Would that be a secret convention? Was never. We had our platforms to reach all our members, underline all our members, not social media members, not people that do not have party membership. Labour Party is an organized political party. Every decision we take trickles down to the last member of the party in minutes. So the convention was properly announced through our organs of communication, and then we are all intimated. Anyone that didn't hear about the convention simply means that the person is not a member of the party, is not registered member of the party. And you also know, with due respect to social media, with the involvement of social media and a lot of people hooking up as being members of Labour Party in the social media without actually knowing their worth. You know, many people think that they are members. So what makes you a member is you have to go to your ward, register, pick your membership card and pay dues at least for 6 months. If you have not done all these things, you are delisted as member of Labour Party. And some of these people you hear on the news, but they are not members. Every member of Labour Party was duly informed about the convention. So we are not surprised about the former treasurer, because that has been her job.
All right. So interesting, Obia, for you've said that the members of your party were duly informed at least 100 days to the convention. And you're not talking about people who are social media members. Those ones are not part of who those you're talking about, because they don't even have a membership card. Those social media guys are not part of... So you're saying some people come out and they talk for Labour Party in the media. They support Labour Party. So they are not your members. They are not known to you. They are not known to you.
Absolutely.
All right. So talking about those who are known to you, who are not mere social media supporters of the party, wouldn't you say that you're not being fair to those who came out to support your party, came out to give your party the massive votes it had, who were majorly those championing your cause on social media, the kind of support that Labour Party had never dreamt of having in its lifetime? Wouldn't you say I'm being unfair to them by describing them as social media members, not real members of your party?
No, that is you're not getting the fact. Those people are supporters of the party. They are supporters of, we call supporters of the party. We appreciate them. They have done so much. In fact, without them, we wouldn't be where we are.
It didn't sound like you appreciated them when you were saying
I'm
owe them
any. I am coming, my brother. I'm coming. We appreciate them. We appreciate everything they have done. But every organization has a role. Every organization has it. I'm sure even your studio, your studio, you have a role. Because everyone who has so many journalists doesn't make them members of your organization. Do you understand? First of all, you have to apply to be a staff of your office and get employed, given an ID card. That doesn't mean that any other media person cannot come and freelance and do any other thing in the office. A Labour Party, it is stated the only way you can vie for office or make decision, be part of decision-making organ of Labour Party, is by being a card-carrying member.
Okay, so I guess you said it all. That these guys who are on social media are unknown to you because they are not card-carrying members of your party. But
I didn't say that they are unknown to me. I said that they cannot be part of decision-making organ of the party.
Okay.
Until we have asked them to please go to your ward, regularize this your membership, go to your ward, register, put your name in the register so that you can as well vie for any office that you want to vie for. For instance, none of them can contest for any election under the ticket of a Labour Party until they have registered and become members of the party. Being a member of support group does not make you a member of a political party in all political parties across the world, not only Labour Party.
All right. Have you embarked on a registration drive since the last election?
Our register is open 24 hours.
I'm asking of a registration drive.
When you ask, I will answer you, ma'am. Our registration is open. We have never closed our registration ever since we finished the election. And we have continued to ask people, ask any of them, those people that are talking, whether we have asked them to please go back to your ward. What else do you call drive? We ask them, go to your ward and register. Elections are coming. Local government election is on the way.
Okay.
Can be a part of a Labour Party by simply going to your ward, ward and register so that you can begin to be benefit of the privileges of being a member of Labour Party.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that for in terms of information, you know those who are your members. And you inform them duly.
Every ward knows they have register of their members and they have way of contacting them. And they do that seamlessly.
Okay. So in terms of this convention, you know those who are your members. And you duly informed your members of your convention. They were duly informed. And you're saying that those on social media are not part of those who you owe any duty to inform about a convention. Those ones, you don't owe them a duty to inform them.
If those in social media are card-carrying members or registered members of the Labour Party, they will know.
Okay, all right. Mr. Fosso, let's look at your convention was a delegate convention. You said you had at least 100 days notice to your members. How were the delegates chosen?
The delegates we had... seven members from every state. And we also have statutory delegates in line with our party constitution. All the party says is every state go back democratically elect, because if we want to say them from every ward, we will not have the capacity to carry them. So all the state did was to go back, pick from the elected members of the state executive and maybe one or two leaders of the party. From all this, all we needed to do is, the law says democratically. Do you understand? So we couldn't get it from, maybe come to FCT and pack people. No, all the state executives went home and selected from already elected members of the state executive.
All right. What does the Labour Party constitution say about election of delegates?
No, the election of delegates for national election is different from party election.
Okay, so what is this about?
The party election is that the delegate will be selected based on affirmation from the state.
Okay.
So the state on their own selected from the already elected members of the executive. And let me also tell you, in the state, we have about 24 elected members of the delegates.
Okay.
So, and constitutionally, we give preference to the chairman, the state secretary, the woman leader, the youth leader, in that order. So we do not have the capacity. We are not a very big party. We do not have the capacity of calling an all-inclusive delegate election. So we already have elected members in the state.
Okay, so it was the party elected officials, the
state party elected officials in the state.
State executives
within themselves.
Okay,
they nominated seven.
Okay, per state
that represented different interests.
Okay.
Of the party.
Okay, are you saying Labour Party doesn't have chapters in all the wards, all the local government areas in Nigeria?
chapters have?
That Labour Party doesn't have chapters in
Labour Party
in all the local government areas in Nigeria.
You didn't understand what I'm saying. I told you that we do not have.
This is an infomercial.
Book your flights on the Access More app and get 20,000 Naira for shopping. Valid from March the 27th to April the 10th, 2024. Terms and conditions apply.
Set by the ward executive, by local government executive, into the state council. So from there we chose 7 that became part of the convention.
Okay. All right. We're going to go on a break, but I really want you to break this down, because when you say you don't have the capacity, I'm trying to understand if it means that you don't have chapters in all the local government areas. Is that what you mean when you say you don't have capacity? That's why you use your state executives as delegates. Is that you don't have maybe chapters in all the local government areas
when
of the country?
When you talk about capacity,
yeah.
I didn't say structure now. Talking about capacity.
What do you mean by capacity?
We do not have the financial muscle to call for all elective, direct state congress. So we chose indirect. Indirect, which is within our law, to pick from the already elected members of the state council.
Okay. What does the Labour Party constitution say about convention, delegates to the convention? Okay, sir please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You keep repeating yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to understand you now, you know. So, Ms. Efo, I'm sorry, we have to take a commercial break. Just 5 minutes and we're back to you.
Okay.
So you can answer the question. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Obiero Fo is the National Publicity Secretary of Labour Party and newly elected, and he's our guest this morning on The Cross. All right, welcome back. We'll throw the lines open shortly, but our guest this morning is the National Publicity Secretary of Labour Party, Mr. Obiero Fo. He joins us via phone. Mr. Obiero Fo, thank you very much for your time. And for those of you who want to call in, please call the number 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190. And of course, he's here to answer questions, basically discuss a leadership crisis in the Labour Party. Let's move on to other issues. Regarding your convention, on Friday the 29th of March, Peter Obi, your former presidential candidate, while addressing his supporters on an X page, I think it was the one organized by a Twitter account called Parallel Facts, was asked why he wasn't at your convention. And he said he missed the convention because the party's leadership, as led by Julius Abure, failed to consult widely with important party stakeholders before holding that convention. It is also worthy to note that your only governor, Alex Otti, was not there. The National Assembly caucus also called on you to postpone the convention until all those things are sorted out. So what do you say to this? Yeah, Mr. Fo, are you there, please? Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Oh, man. Okay, we'll try to get back to Obiero Fo as quickly as possible. I don't know what the problem is. But please feel free to call. We'll take your call 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190. No be small thing, I think the
dear customer, the MTN number you have dialed is not reachable.
Okay, I think the network did us in. Our call screener will do the call-in for me. And when he's back, we'll put him on. 99.3.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, thank you. This is Manuel from Ogun State.
All right, Manuel, your contribution, please.
Yeah, thank you. Well, people see that Obi is a social media president. I think they want to die by force. This has been confirmed now by this public secretary.
Is that what he said?
It's the fact. So it has confirmed that Obi is a social media president. If it's talked to the north, many local governments in the north, they don't even know what Obi is. They don't even know him at all. So it's not that I'm captivating him, but he's a social media president. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your time. I think we have Mr. Fo on the line. Mr. Fo, are you there, please? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay, so, sorry about the issue of Shire Studio Network. So, Peter Obi, on the Friday, March 29, he was on an X space, a Twitter space. He was asked why he missed your convention, and he said it was because Julius Abure led Labour Party failed to consult widely with important party stakeholders before holding that convention. And that's why he wasn't there. What do you say to this?
Thank you so much. The most important stakeholders in the Labour Party is the members of the party. Across the world, across the local government, and across the state. The elected officers and the appointed officers. And of course, the worker union. And if one or two of them are saying that was not consulted adequately, then we need to find out at what level of consultation they expect. Because we know we wrote them, we had formal meetings with them. Both formal and informal meetings with them. But the issue has always been reduced to personality. And that is what we are talking about consultation. Personality. And that is what we disagree. Consultation, we consulted. But if you are talking about agreement, that is another issue. We consulted with National Assembly members. We consulted with our number one, the only governor that we have in the Labour Party. I'm sure he is still saying that it was not consulted. And if the NLC is saying that they are not consulted, the PUC say the same thing.
Okay, what was the outcome of your consultation with Alex Oti, Governor Alex Oti?
He supported the convention. That was why you saw him being represented at the meeting by his deputy, the highest office holder in the state outside him.
Why wasn't he there? Why wasn't he there?
You ask me when you ask questions, allow me to. Unless if you have a
I'm looking at my clock. I'm also
a reporter like this. So
I know. Okay, go on.
If a governor has important state matters to attend to, like he had that very day, but he decided to send his deputy and his entire executive, including all members of the state assembly and directors and SAs, I don't know what other thing you expect from a man, a busy man like a governor. And the deputy governor came to say that he was representing his boss.
Okay.
So I said that settles that.
What about the only senators from the party, Victor Omeh and Tony Nwoye? They were not there.
No. There again, you said it. We have more than...
Sorry. Yes, but Victor Omeh and Tony Nwoye were not there.
The senators and the House of Representative members are under a group of stakeholders called National Assembly Stakeholders. Most of them send the leader of the National Assembly, who is the deputy minority whip, who's represented every one of them. You know, the National Assembly is on recess. They are on recess. Most of them traveled out of the country. And there were at least 11 members of National Assembly that were present at the meeting. So you will not say that the National Assembly, don't push it down to persons or personality.
Right. I heard there were 7 members. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry about that. So, because of time, I want to put a caller through to on. Then I'll come back to you. Thank you very much for your patience. Because of time, I'm trying to, rush these things through. Sorry about that, Mr. Efo. We have another caller here. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah. Welcome. What's your name and contribution, please?
Yes, America is my name from Satellite Town. And greetings to your guest in the studio. Hello?
Yes, yes, please go on.
Yes, I am a strong member of the driver force behind the Labour Party, that is the Obedient Movement. My question is this. In the light of the humongous allegations bearing on malfeasance, corruption, abuse of office on the current chairman, Julius Abure, what is the disposition of the exco member, so the executive member, towards allowing for an independent investigation that Julius Abure ought to have stepped aside and allow for an independent investigation into all these allegations? Because the Labour Party cannot be preaching a different thing while the party is representing a different thing. What is the disposition of its members towards the position that Julius Abure ought to have stepped aside and allowed for an independent and thorough investigation to the humongous allegations levelled on him?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We have another caller coming through. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kofi.
Welcome. Your name and contribution, please.
Good morning to your guest as well. I'm Mrs. Oboli calling from Ikorodu.
Welcome.
So I'm happy you're bringing the publicity secretary of the LP party to speak with us this morning, because before this interview, we've been worried that we don't know what really is happening in LP. I love LP. I'm not really a card-carrying member, but so far, so good. Amongst all these other parties, LP is like a ray of hope for some of us who still believe in democracy. So I just want to plead with the publicity secretary. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Whatever it is that has been eating up or trying to separate or divide the people in this party, I want to urge you people to just get your acts together and just stand as one. For many of us, I still look at you people and say, okay, you are like a beacon of light, a ray of hope.
All right, thank you very much.
Democratic setting.
Thank you
please
very much. Thank you very much.
Get your acts together and just do something about your party instead of dividing it.
Thank you.
That's my admission this
thank
morning.
You very much. Okay, Mr. Ford, what's your response to both callers? Let's start with the first caller, Emeka, who asked about Julius Abure stepping aside.
No, let me sincerely appreciate my brother. I thank him for that wonderful question. One, you are not guilty until proven. We in the Labour Party executive have already studied the matter. All our leaders, including the ones we know, have also looked into the matter. And they find out that all these things are trumped up charges. They are only interested in after Julius Abure position. Some people want to come and reap where they go. So they brought up so many allegations, false allegations. And we have challenged all those things in the court, and none of them have been able to prove even one of those things. So you cannot, if you remove Abure, it means that you have acceded to what they have been looking for, so that they can bring in someone that will now sell the party. See, Abure's name is in the list of people that formed Labour Party in 2002. So he is an institution in Labour Party. So he knows everything. So we are politicians. We know the political games that are going on. So we don't even want to fall into that.
All right.
You say that it's not us.
Okay.
Please go to court. I'm sorry.
Well,
on the other second question asked, let me tell you, and sincerely with you, your radio station is only the first and only station that we have granted interviews since after our name. You have not seen us on television or any in the social media. We are not talking except to respond to very few matters. We sincerely think, why are we doing that? Because we have already started doing internal work to reconcile. We are already reconciling. I can tell you, I've done almost 80%. With the exception of one group, the NLC, who we know that have ulterior motives. But every other group, including all those stakeholders that they have called, we have reconciled with every one of them. And I can tell you that in a very few days from now, the Labour Party will come out. Even if you see the national chairman being attacked, all these things are public. This house was gutted down. He was dragged on the streets of Benin. There are piles of and piles of allegations against him of corruption.
All right.
So these things are political games, which we know will come get over.
Okay, maybe say for the let's turn our attention to the consent judgment delivered by Justice Gabriel Kolawole, which you're aware of. I won't bore you with more talk. Signed or issued on March 2018, which recognised Labour Party, Nigeria Labour Congress as the owners of Labour Party, and mandated an all-inclusive and expansive national convention of the party to be held. What do you say to that? That says that NLC owns Labour Party. You are part of that consent judgment issued by Justice Gabriel Kolawole as a party. Sir?
If you give me just 2 minutes, I think I will address that justice.
All right.
There was going to be an election in 2019. And the Labour Party was in a great tumult. So we were at the verge of being deregistered if we fail to win at least once. And the national chairman at that time, the late Abdullah, was going into political agreement. It was purely a political agreement. There was no written judgment. It was an agreement. So let us put aside all the crisis. Let us go into a election. Okay, you say you are the owner. Let's agree. Let's go to conduct the election. And we had Governor Mimiko then. Being the leader of the party. That was what happened. But outside that, sir, that you formed a political party does not make you the owner of political party in line with the electoral law. And the constitutional electoral law in section 77 says the moment a political party is formed, it is now a corporate body.
All right.
It is owned by Nigeria.
So did the Labour Party sign up to that consent judgment or not?
But I have just explained to you why the late chairman agreed to that consent judgment.
So you were saying Labour Party signed up to that consent judgment, whether it was political or not. Okay,
yes.
And that judgment says NLC owns Labour Party, right?
It is a political... I'm happy you use the word consent judgment to say that NLC is the owner. Nobody is arguing that. But that consent judgment, does it vitiate what the electoral law and the Nigerian constitution says? Which one is stronger?
What does the electoral law say? What does the constitution say?
The electoral law says that in section 77, says that for a moment and a political party is formed, it has become a body corporate, sued and to be sued, and belongs to all Nigerians. It's a simple thing. Go to your electoral law. The consent judgment cannot vitiate what the law of the land says. And that is what we are challenging. The moment the PDP is formed by people, Abdel or whatever, is formed by...
All right. Okay.
Your duty is not to own it perpetually.
Okay. Finally, I want to ask you about the NLC meeting today, the stakeholders meeting. They formed a board of trustees to take over the party because, of course, they say Abure's tenure has expired and they don't recognize, as the owners of the party, they don't recognize the convention that was held. And therefore, that board of trustees is already they've been formed. And today they are having a meeting to determine Julius Abure's fate. What is your response to that stakeholder meeting?
One, what they are doing is a jamboree. They are not backed by any law. Not the party law, not the electoral law. Nobody recognizes what they are doing. It is a gathering of men that are aggrieved. We'll give it to them. They have the right. Anybody, you too, can call your own. To start with, nobody has the power under the Constitution and under the electoral law to form a help the national chairman and the national secretary who will convey a board of trustees. In this case, the people that are bringing, and that is why we are suspecting the motive, are people that have interest in other political parties. Some of them contested election. Most of them are not carrying members. I keep underlining the word. They are not carrying members of the party. They are not even to the man that the national president of NLC does not belong to Labour Party. So you cannot be superintending on an organization if you don't have interest.
Okay.
It states that you are the owner.
All right.
The effort has been made
Okay.
As the owner of the party, to make the party popular.
Okay, Mr. A question I must not fail.
Remember, there's a TUC. In all these things, they have not mentioned TUC.
There's a question I must not fail to ask you. Why was the venue of the convention changed at least three times?
One, the venue was initially slated in Augusta. And of course, you know, it's all the challenge we had during the dual governorship primary. So we thought it was not the place for us. So we now shifted it to Abia. And it's again still on the Eastern area, which is not good for us to go. And the hall that we were hoping to use that was given to us, proposed to us, we realized that the hall was for almost 1 week. We had to move. And we had the support of the governor, our leader in Abia, performing governor in Abia State. And that is why you saw the largest number of contingents from Abia State in the convention we had.
You're saying the hall was not big enough for you, or the hall?
Based on faith related and the issue of insecurity. Even in the name we took, we have insecurity threats. Because we cannot move it further again, so we geared up and say whatever.
Okay.
We must go ahead.
So it was because of Easter. Then, secondly, it was because of the hall, and then thirdly, it was because of insecurity. Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Hello,
can you hear me? Okay, the network hasn't been too favorable. That last answer is what I'm sure a lot of you wanted to hear. You know, I don't have the time to take, you know, really push for some answer, because I have to keep going and going and going because of time. I would like to dwell on one or two answers. Let's go pay our bills. We'll be back to say goodbye, and then we'll do our one play.ng draw. Stay with us. It's the Morning Crossfire.